Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a hell of a show for you tonight. You know, our first guest is a gentleman that I've been wanting on for quite some time. And over the past few weeks, you know, several fans have spoke out and said, you need to get this guy on the show. What better way to do it than just to bring him on the show? You know, joining me tonight is my mutual host and my partner in crime, Mr. Dean Laster. Dean, what's happening, brother?
What's up? What's up, brother? How are you?
Getting ready to celebrate my geriatric birthday tomorrow, homie. Now I can seriously go to the old folks' home and be the life of the party, bro.
Yeah, and you know, we're gonna be like the first ones in the old folks' home, jamming out Metallica and Biggie Smalls. So think about that. We're trendsetters, bro.
You know what, man? We're gonna tear up them old folks. Without that being said, you kill me, homie. Oh, but you know what?
No, did not take that, did you?
A good brother of mine, Jake Regan. You know, when he hits me and tells me this is a tremendous young man that I need to look at. I'd already been looking at him. I've met him at Bellator. You know, I just always wanted to have him on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Cass Bell. Cass, how's it going, bro?
It's going good. It's going good, and thank you for having me on the show. I've been hoping to get on your show for a long time now, so I'm excited to, be able to get on here and tell my story.
You know, everybody gets to tell their story. You know, I think I like my show because it's not a Wikipedia or Tapology show, man. It's just real straight from the heart. You know, Cass, everybody can ask you, why'd you get in the sport and this and that? But I want to know, when you got into the sport and you started understanding and developing into a fighter, who was that one mentor that gave you that little bit of an edge, that little bit of an advantage that made you see the ability that you had?
I would say it'd be my coach, John Thompson. I've been with him since the beginning, since I stepped into the gym to start training. I mean, I started wrestling at a younger age and stuff like that, but I went into the gym. I had a fight that I had planned that I just wanted to do. And I never really watched, any other professional fights. I never really watched Bellator or UFC or anything else, really. I've seen them around and stuff, but that was pretty much it. And so, as soon as I stepped in the gym, it was my coach. It was John Thompson.
That's dope. You know, you talk about Bellator. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, that you're a new up-and-comer. You've been in the sport for quite a while. I think 2012, 2013, you came into the sport. You had a long amateur career. What was the mindset and the perception of having that long amateur career? Because as a pro, you're undefeated. But what was the mindset going into as an amateur?
So, the mindset was, I started probably, I was, 24, started, training MMA and stuff, and really, I just wanted to jump into it. I already had a fight plan. I was going to do this tough man competition where you fight multiple times a night. And I just wanted to, you know, I was just more, just, let's go. I was just more like, this is do it. You know, that's kind of how I am. And I met my coach, John Thompson, and he slowed me down a lot. He's like, hey, I mean, he's like, you only have like 2 weeks to train, so we're just going to, you know, see what you got. But you know, after my very first fight, it was more like we were learning, like, hey, we need to, you know, let's take our time. We're not in no rush where, you know, I need to get paid or anything like that. It was just more like, let's take our time, let's do it the right way. You know, coming from Humboldt County, in Humboldt County, we're a small area. So we get forgotten a lot. And it's, you know, a lot of people, it's hard for people from Humboldt County to really get out there and make something big. I believe everybody can. It's just, you know, by doing it and stuff. But my coach, John, he was like, hey, we got to slow this down. Let's take our time. And once I got to a certain level, let's pick some top fighters, you know, in the amateur career or in the amateur, you know, going as fighting as amateurs. And let's you know, start fighting these top guys. You know, a lot of guys that maybe I can't fight or that I might not win, you know, I have a good chance of losing. Like, let's fight those guys. So I'm super stoked that, you know, I met, you know, met him and he put me on this, you know, on the right path. To get to where I'm, you know, to where I'm at now. So, like I said, it was a long amateur career. I had a lot of wins. I had a lot of losses. And it was good, though. There weren't really any easy fights at all during my amateur career. You know, they always pushed me to my limits and stuff, and we, you know, always took tough fights. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that was, the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, it was a tremendous beginning of it because, you know, I've been up in Arcadia and Humboldt quite a bit. You know, it's not a place that you look at idealistically at fighting. I mean, you don't realize that there's that much talent up there, but, you know, the world will now see that Cass Bell can bring it and hang with the best of them in the sport. You know, you truly have been on a tear in Bellator, and I think it's a tremendous deal, but I think I'm going to let one of the greatest cut men I've ever met, Mr. Dean Lassiter, pick up the questions from here since he's from Bellator. And he's had a little bit more time to work with you than me. So I'm going to pass the mic to him, and then I'll come back. Go ahead, Dino.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm always partial to our guys. I love our sport, no doubt, MMA or no holds barred, whatever you want to call it. I love our sport so much, but always partial to my Bellator family. What's up, Cass? How are you, bro?
What up? I am good. I'm good and, you know, just chilling, just training and working and pretty much it. Hanging out with the family a lot.
Nice. Nice, nice. What do you do for work, buddy?
Well, right now it's just like I'm a mechanic right now. I'm not really a mechanic.
Yeah.
I'm just tearing out all these quads that we had, all these dirt bikes and stuff that were sitting for years in the backyard that bushes grew over, or they're sitting in storage. And I'm pulling them all out slowly, and I'm working on them so I get all my kids could start riding and stuff. And I've been doing a little wrestling thing here and there with a couple of my local kids. And so after practice, I bring up the toys, the quads and stuff, and we ride afterwards. So that's what we've been doing. So that's like, so it's not really my job, you know, but it's like a hobby, I guess. But I'm just working, you know, on that kind of stuff.
Dude, I think that's a lifestyle, brother. How cool is that? Do some wrestling. And, you know, a friend of mine that got me started in Bellator, Big Rob Monroe, he's a cutman for the other guys. Probably the best in the game. And he fixes up motorcycles too. He's always refurbishing like old school. He's older like me, so he gets like the old Yamahas and refurbishes them and turns them back yellow again from our days, you know?
Nice. Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's
you know,
heck yeah.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's fun. You know, I did a lot of mechanic stuff when I was younger and stuff. I did in school and here and there, and I was actually going to be a mechanic one day, and but that fell through. I decided I wanted to be a fighter, so I went with that route. But it's nice, you know. It's nice getting with the tools again, getting oils on, you know, grease and oil on the hands, and you know, just getting dirty.
Heck yeah, buddy. You know, speaking of fighting, bro. You know, come off your professional career, and you're 5-0 fighting for the best organization in the world. You know, you don't want to fight up north, buddy, up Northern California. And I know you're from way up North California. Has anything changed for you, you know, walking around town or like, you know, getting more recognition for you?
Yeah, a lot has changed because, I mean, like I said, we come from a small area. I mean, there's about, I mean, we in Humboldt County itself, there's over a little over 100,000 people we have here. So, I mean, it is somewhat big, but there's different towns, you know, little cities. We're all, like, little towns, is, you know, with not so many people and stuff. But, no, it has been. Like, if I have the green hair going, rocking that, I mean, everybody recognizes me from a mile away. It's cool seeing all my shirts and stuff that people, you know, support and wear and stuff. And then I'm pretty big in the community. I help out with the kids. I do the freestyle wrestling team all 3 months out of the year, where that's just volunteering, so I get to see a lot of kids and a lot of people during those 3 months. And then also I mean, I'm born and raised in Humboldt County. I've lived here my whole life, and this is my home. So you know, just getting a little bit of fame like I have been, it's been awesome. It's been fun. I love it. I like it. And yeah, so I mean, you know, just like I said, walking around, you know, there's always somebody waving at me, somebody saying something, somebody saying hi, somebody wants to take photos and stuff. So it's definitely cool. I love the feeling. I love all the support, too, that I got.
Well, I tell you, you're on the right road, homie. You know, you just keep yourself level-headed, you know, like you're doing with the kids, and grounded, buddy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said it best, you took your time to get here. I think most guys rush too fast to get to be a pro. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think you built your time, and you fought some tough dudes as an amateur too, bro. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, no, exactly.
I think you're doing the right things, you know.
Awesome. That's great to hear. That's good to hear, you know, because, like, you know, for, you know, coming out of Humboldt, there's nobody that's done what I've been doing or what I've done so far. You know, there's been a couple people here and there that there's been, like, one guy who moved out of the area, and then he fought on a different show, but he never stayed. There's one guy that moved to town and then started fighting, but he moved away too. So, I mean, really, you know, like, I'm, like, pretty much the first to do what we're doing here and you know, paving the pathway. So it's awesome. It's awesome to be up front and also, you know, like, leading the way for, you know, all our local guys, all our kids too, give them something to look up to so they could, you know that, you know, you don't have to leave this area to, you know, to get big and to make it, you know, to make it. You just have to work hard, find the right people that, you know, have the same ambitions as you do and have, you know, that, and you click with, and, you know, they want you to do just as good as you want them to do good. And, you know, you could go far with it. And like you said, keep you level headed, you know, make sure you don't get a big head in this game or anything you're doing, you know, always know you have to learn every single day. And, you know, anything can happen, you know, in this. So I think that's what really, you know, helps me a lot and got me where I'm at, you know, with the people who I'm with.
Yeah,
right?
That's tremendous.
You know, brother,
you know,
you had a pretty busy year. Oh, I'm sorry, Don. You had a pretty busy year in 2019, man. And
yes.
It's come to a screeching halt here. Come to a screeching halt here in 2020. How you handling that, brother?
Definitely. I had plans. I had my eyes set on getting that belt by the end of 2020, or by the end of 2020. So that was my goal set. That's what I had in my mind, and that's what I was going for. So I was trying to fight as much as I could, and I was able to fight 3 times in 2019, which was awesome. So I was on a roll. Everything was going well. And then it stopped, you know, so that definitely put a damper on us. But like the first 2 weeks, it was nice because it was like, okay, hey, I get a rest. So I slept, caught on a lot of sleep, stayed home, did what I was supposed to do with my family and stuff. And then, but then after 2 weeks, I got kind of like, all right, we got to start doing more stuff now. I got, you know, I caught up on my rest. Like, usually I'm doing something every weekend. There's never a dull moment. We're always doing something. It was middle of our wrestling season. So not only do I fight and train professionally every day, I also coach and we travel everywhere. So I take kids to all the tournaments. We're always looking for the toughest tournaments around. And so we're always doing something. So, like, my fight in Hawaii, when I got back from Hawaii, I just got back from Hawaii, and then we drove home or got home, the next weekend we went to San Jose and did a grappling tournament there, and then we went to then the very next day we drove to Fresno. So and then we did a wrestling tournament there, and then we went back home and actually got sick, and my girl got sick too, and then you know, pretty much all this all this COVID-19 stuff started happening. So it was it was pretty nuts, but it was I can't wait I can't wait to get this get things back to normal as much as we can, and get back to it.
Right on. Right on.
I hear that, man. You know what? I apologize, Cass. I actually shot your debut performance in WFC against Travis Hyland. You know.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes. I remember you were doing photos too, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. I remember now. Now it's clicking.
Yeah. I'm sitting here and I'm going, I know him from before Bellator. I knew I did, but it was like, how do I put it together? I'm sitting there thinking while Dean's talking to you, and I'm going, holy crap, now I know where. Oh, it's a small world, bro.
It is a small world. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, when you look back at your amateur days, Travis was a cool dude. You fought a good guy there, and you came out on top. But, you know, when you look back at your amateur days and your wrestling days and you put everything together, how much of that has truly encapsulated who you are and defined you in your walk in this sport moving into Bellator? Because like Dean said, you've been on fire in Bellator, bro. So how much of your past has truly defined your walk today?
Well, I mean, really, like, my amateur was mostly trial and error, you know. We tried a lot of things. I took some fights on short notice. I was fighting at a bigger weight class, 145s was actually what I was fighting at, and 150s and up a little bit here and there. And it was really like, my amateur career was just, to us, it didn't matter, about wins or losses. Like, obviously, everybody likes to win, and I wanted to win. But at the same time, I wanted to push myself just so we'd be ready for when we got that call to the big leagues. Once Bellator called, I was more than ready to go. I was like, this is awesome. This is what we're going to do. It's time to, take the next big step, and let's, make this stuff happen. It's been a huge, success so far. I'm 5-0 now in Bellator. I've only fought as a professional in Bellator. So, I mean, all the experience, it was all great experience. Even the losses that I took, I'm glad everything happened to how it's happened so far.
It's been tremendous. Now that I look back and I remember, it's crazy because, you always set yourself apart from everybody else. And I think that's what a lot of fighters need to do in this sport. But I just had a question come in the green room, and which is kind of funny because you got green hair.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's green right now. But,
it's not yet.
Somebody asked in the green room, what was the reasoning behind the green hair, and are you going to continue to rock it once you come back to the sport?
Yes, no, definitely. So the green hair is every time I fight, I've done it since the very beginning. It just represents Humboldt County. Humboldt County is where I'm born and raised. I've been here my whole life. And, it's who I am. And it's, the land of the trees. We have redwood trees. We got the hills. We got the mountains. And, that's just where I'm from. So it just works. It helps. To me, it shows that, I'm supporting my, where I come from and, all my people here. And then also, a big thing, too, is it was my son's, favorite color when he was only, like, 2 years old, two or three. I was talking to him, telling him, what are we going to do, And then we came up, I'm going to go with green. And it's been ever since. I'm so happy I went with it. It's been definitely a staple in my fighting. It's like I call it my war paint. Once I get that on, it's go time. Because I usually get the green hair a week before my fight. And that's when it's like, all right, it's getting ready to, we're going to throw down. So, I mean, I love it. My body, as soon as it gets it on, the green hair, it's just like my whole body just shifts. It's a cool feeling.
That's dope. How does it make you feel? Because I know you've seen the comment Gene Perez put, I saw you fight in Lincoln City 6 years back, dude. You're a tremendous warrior. How does it make you feel knowing that people have completely followed you and embraced you since the amateur days now and have followed you into your pro career and still back you?
Yes, no, I mean, it's so awesome, like, to hear that. I mean, by hearing everybody that leaves comments and everything like that, you know, like, all the positive stuff, it's just awesome. It's just, like, it makes me wake up in the morning and keeps me going, you know. It's like, hey, I got to get up, I got to keep doing this. And it just keeps the fire lit under me. And so, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, it's amazing when I hear that comment today that he posted. It was just like, oh, sweet. And then I actually looked him up to see if I remember who he was. And I actually believe I do remember seeing him there at the fights. That was when I fought Abdul Kamara, and who was 7-0 at the time. And that's what actually got me that amateur world title shot, because he was supposed to take it and his fighter backed out. I stepped up like a month into it or something like that, and then I stole the show, and then the next fight for King of the Cage, I got they flew me out to Las Vegas, and I was able to fight for the amateur world title, which I won. So I mean, it's just awesome. All the fans, all the love. You know, like, I mean, I don't know if you saw the post, but, you know, Bellator made that post, you know, the Bantamweight Grand Prix. They're like, hey, who wants the belt? Who should we give, you know, fight for that belt? And I'm only 5-0, you know, so there's a lot more killers, you know, other killers out there that, you know, deserve it probably more than I do. You know, Juan Archuleta, he's like 22-2 or something like that. There's, you know, there's a whole bunch of other guys out there who been, you know, in the game longer than I have, at least as professional, I should say, at least, you know. So there's guys, you know, that have a bigger name and stuff. But I get online and I just see my name blowing up. My name's on there more, if not double to triple more times than anybody on there. You know, like, there's Patrick Mix, who's a good fighter, who's 13-1 or something, or 13-0, I think. There's Darren Clodwell, who's a beast, who's fighting for the 45 title right now, but, you know, in the Grand Prix for that. But, I mean, he's a big name. There's Ricky Bandeas. There's, James Gallagher. I don't know really about James Gallagher that much. I don't think he's that good yet. But they're still big names. Sergio Pettis, you know, who just came from the other show. He's, he's in there now. He's on the roster. You know, there's Rafion Stotts, who I'm actually hoping I'm going to be fighting here soon, because that's who I was supposed to fight before all this craziness went down. And he's like 13-1 or something like that. He comes from the Pettis's team, Duke Rufus's team and stuff. So, I mean, it's just so cool just to see my name getting thrown out there. You know, I was like, yes, you know, even on Facebook, on Instagram, my name's out there more than all these killers out there that have, you know, that've done more as a professional than I have. And I'm still up and comer. So, I mean, it's just a great feeling. You know, it's just like, man, this is awesome. If they give me the chance, you know, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take it. So it's just, you know, it's exciting.
That's righteous. I'm going to pass the mic back to Dino, let him ask you a couple more questions, and then I'll come back and we'll kind of wrap things up. Dino?
Awesome.
You know, brother, you mentioned that it's on my list of notes here. You mentioned the tournament. You all ready? And, like,
yes.
That's your goal? And what do you think about the tournament schedule? It almost fits you perfect, doesn't it?
Exactly. It definitely does. I mean, like, you know, for me to get the title shot right away, I don't think that's possible yet, even though I got all that love and stuff. But to be real, you know, like I said, all the names I already named off, you know, they have, you know, a lot more, you know, a bigger record and all that stuff too. So I could see them actually, you know, going for a title if it was just thrown up there. But if there's a Grand Prix going on, I believe now I'm going to be, you know, in the mix with that, which is going to be sweet. And that will give me a chance to prove that, you know, I belong in, you know, belong, you know, as a champion Bellator. You know, I put the name in Bellator. My last name's Bell, and it's already in there. So, I mean, it's a whole, it's just, you know, it's just destined to be. And, so I'm excited, and especially like with now, like if I know Bellator was talking about the Grand Prix and stuff, and I was looking, I was doing my homework. All right, who are they going to accept? You know, who are they going to put on this, you know, on this roster? Because we have a big, bantamweight roster of just killers, you know, on the, you know, Bellator show. So really, oh, and I got to turn this down there. Somebody shouting by loud. So really, it's like, so I was, you know, doing my homework. So I'm like, shoot, man, I don't know if I'll be able to get on there. But to be real, I'm undefeated, 5-0, only fought in Bellator. I know I need to fight, you know, a couple big, you know, bigger names, and that's what I'm hoping for now. That's why I'm so stoked to fight, you know, Rafion Stotts, because he just got into Bellator, but he's, you know, 13-1. He dominated his guy in Hawaii, and he fought on the same card I fought. And so, I mean, it's, you know, I don't, I can't wait. I hope the Grand Prix happens, and I hope my name gets put in there. And I don't know how Bellator is not going to after we saw, you know, after all the love and support I got.
Well, and, you know, that's awesome, too, and I'll bet that's right up your alley. And hell, you've had over 15 fights, so you've got a fight's a yep. fight at this point. Going five yep. rounds might be a little bit different, but that's about it, right?
Exactly. Yep. No, exactly. Exactly right. And, you know, with this Grand Prix, I mean, I get on there. That gives me the chance to actually fight all these guys. You know, I keep winning. And then it just, I get the next step. I get the next step. So it's not like they just give me one chance to get the belt. It's like, no, I got to earn it. And, you know, I get a couple more wins under my belt, too. You know, that'd be three more fights, I think, would be for the title, you know, for the championship. If I won every single one of them, I'd be, you know, 8-0 or so. So I definitely think, you know, that's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
And, you know, I've watched a lot of guys go through the tournament. I think it's Taiwan Claxton. Great fighter. A lot like you, brother. You know, there's very few guys that come in right away and are professionals that actually fight like professionals. And he's one of them. And he lost a really tough fight against Emmanuel Sanchez. And the next time I got to rap him, I'm like, hey, man, you mind if I bring up the last fight? He's like, no. And I'm like, you know, I thought you won. He's like, because he got tapped, right? He's like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, sometimes.
I lost
him. I'm here still.
And I,
okay.
You know, and you could see that it just brightened him up, and it's awesome to see young fighters like you and him come up, and the experience that you can gain from a single tournament, win, lose or draw, would be immense.
Oh yeah, no, exactly, and like I said, it gives all the, you know. Oh, you know, it gives me a chance to, you know, step in there and, you know, improve, you know, and be in there, you know, get in the tournaments, you know, that way. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm stoked, and I'm even more excited now that it's even, you know, it's looking more like that's even a chance, you know. It's just if Bellator does it, which I think they will. I just haven't heard anything from them yet about if it's a go or not.
Yeah, me neither, buddy. I haven't heard much about it, you know, but I'm hoping for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
Thank
you. Know, we're all hoping for him, man. You know, you look at, I've been around AJ McKee his whole life, and I watched a young man grow from nothing into greatness, and I see the same.
Yeah, he's what,
6? You.
He's 6. He's 16-0, right? AJ McKee?
Yeah. Yeah,
16-0. Yeah. Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's a great fighter. I actually met him a couple times, a couple fights, and met his dad and everything too, and they're super cool. Super cool guys.
Yeah. You know, I just got one more question for you, brother, before we kind of wrap things up. You know, the virus kind of put everything on still. And, you know, you're so engulfed in your career, and you're a tremendous warrior. If you had to paraphrase a statement for Bellator Nation, the Bellator fans, and the promotion about what they can expect from Cass Bell on this next opportunity, what would that statement be, bro?
You guys are going to see a whole nother fighter, just like you guys do with every fight. Every time I step in, I'm a whole different fighter. And that's, you know, that's what you guys are going to keep seeing. You guys are just going to see me keep destroying the division. And I, like always keep the fights exciting. And yeah, that's, you know, that's what I would have to say.
Bro, I think you got a tremendous career ahead of you, and I think you're going to show the world what you're truly about. It's amazing to have you on the show. I'm going to have to get you on a longer episode, man. A half an hour isn't enough with you. You know, I find out more and more that a half an hour segment just isn't enough with some fighters. I think, Dean, I think we need to just start doing one-on-ones, and that way we can just rip them and let them go as long as we want. But we got a legend in Kung Lee waiting in, man. What better way to open up a show with a tremendous man on the rise, Cass Bell? You know, Cass, I'm so proud of you. What you've done, many have not done before. You're going to create a great name for yourself, and it's truly an honor to be able to share a little bit of you with the world tonight. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any friends or family, social media sites, anything else you want to add to the program, brother, the floor is yours.
Awesome. Thank you, Don, so much. And first, you know, you, Don and Dean, thank you guys for having me on the show. You know, it's definitely an honor just to, you know, just be on your show. I've been following you guys for a while, and so I'm grateful for that. And, yeah, I got to give a shout-out to my team, my Institute of Combat team in Arcata, California. You know, they've been with me, you know, since the beginning. My coach, John Thompson, he's been there. So he's been my coach from now, and you guys are going to be hearing about him soon. He likes to stay kind of quiet and stuff, but he's a nerd in this game, and he's a beast. I also got to say thank you to Josh Burt, who is my strength and conditioning coach and a good friend when I first started training there too. So big shout out to him. And then also everybody else, you know, like everybody from Humboldt County, everybody from California, everybody from, you know, Bellator Nation, everybody that's, you know, been supporting me, having my back. It's been, you know, I love all you guys, and definitely will not be doing it without, you know, without everybody. So I just got to, you know, give a big shout out to everybody that's been helping me, you know, get to where I'm at today. And I'm not going to let you guys down. I'm keep working, keep going hard, and I'm not going to stop until I want to. So, again, thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, it was truly our honor, bro. Yeah, it was truly our honor. You're a tremendous young man, and I tell you what, a half an hour didn't give you the whole aspect, and I'll bring you back on when you get ready to fight, and we'll do just an hour special with you, Cass. How's about that?
Awesome. Yeah, no, that'd be cool. I'm down for that. Just hit me up whenever.
I appreciate you, brother. You have a good night, man.
Thank you.
All right, you too.
Show. God
yep.
bless you, brother.
All right. God bless. Bye.
Later, homie.
Bye.
Dang, that was crazy, bro. I love that kid. But we're running just about 2 minutes behind.
Good
dude. And yeah, he's a hell of a good dude. I don't want to leave a legend waiting, so we're going to go ahead and give Master Kung Lee a phone call.
Cass is a good kid, man. Love to hear he's giving back all to his community. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's the way it should be, man. Giving back.
Hello.
Hey, Kung. This is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. On the line with me is Dean Lasseter, a cut man from Bellator. We're going to go ahead and give Sunshine a call right now also so we can get everybody on the show and go ahead and get things started.
Oh, she's right here with me.
Hi.
Oh, she is?
She's right here
okay.
with me. Yeah.
Yes,
sir. Oh, well, we don't need a caller then. Oh. You know, I wanted you two back on the show because, well, of course, we did a show the other day on Fight Pass, Kung. But you know what? I watched a lot of shows that you've been doing, and I don't think they truly give the whole in-depth aspect of the justice that you and Sunshine are seeking. You know, so I kind of wanted to create an aspect tonight where we can just justify in front of the world some of the atrocities and some of the thoughts and the perceptions, you know, that you yourself and Sunshine are going through, if that's cool with you, sir.
Totally cool with me.
Well, first and foremost, Dean, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to Mr. Kung Lee and Sunshine Spring, and then we'll go ahead and get the show rocking, brother.
What's up, guys? How are you? Hope everything's going good.
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
Good, brother. Good. I haven't seen you guys in a while. I miss my Bellator family, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully Scott Coker gets those fights back up and going soon.
Yeah, especially up north where I don't even have to get on an airplane, right?
That's right.
Right on.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump in here. You know, Kung, you and Sunshine have dealt with a lot of adversity lately. You know, kind of fill in my listeners a little bit about the story, about the aspect and the adversity that you two are walking through in your life at this time.
Give me a second. Sorry, the TV just popped on.
Come on, bro. This is my worldwide syndicated show, not an app show.
we had it on pause, and somehow it popped back on, so I apologize.
I'm messing with you, sir.
But, right now we try to focus on the positive and, you know, the fact that we got a roof over our head and we have each other and, we're engaged to be married. So it's a blessing. But at the same time, you know, we feel like, you know, it's our duty to expose the corrupt deputy sheriffs in Kentucky, not just the deputy sheriff, but even the judge and the CPS. I mean, what they're doing to families is crazy. And, I know there's a movement going and there's a lot of, bad apples that are being exposed. So, you know, in a way, this is like God's way to expose everyone. And we're going to make sure, you know, these crooks in Kentucky, they get exposed too. You know, I just feel that, you know, being, you know, for Spring, you know, being a mom and never married to these deputy sheriffs, and for them to be able to pull CPS and falsify documents, and I mean, you name it, they did it. They broke every, like, almost like there's a list of, like, civil rights. There's a list of, you know, the amendments. I mean, you name it, they're doing it. Like every time we talk, I've been able to express more because it's a public record, right? So the fact that it's a public record, and I'm talking about it, it just means that we're able to say and speak the truth.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Sunshine, how hard is it for you to walk this walk? Because, you know, there's a lot of tremendous aspects to who you are. How hard is it for you to be a mother, to be denied that right, to have your children and to have justice be served in the right manner?
Give me one moment. It's like getting your heart ripped out of your soul.
I know.
But you know what? My children are depending on me, and they rely on me, and I'm going to stand back up. So it's like a fighter's fight, right? You get knocked down, you get back up, and I'm going to get back up because I want my children. They're okay. I know they're okay right now, and I will get my children back. I did nothing wrong, and I will expose them. I have all the evidence I need to prove my flight, and I'm not afraid anymore.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, not to be afraid anymore, because when you know you're fighting for justice and you know you're right, and
yeah,
the equality has been taken from you. You know, that's part of the problem in America. You know, everybody is in accordance that a lot of the systems in America are broken and we need to fix them. You know, I see good and I see bad and everything. You know, I happen to live right next to Kentucky. It's a state that I don't truly appreciate too much because I've had my fair share of the law enforcement in that state. What is being done now to help bring your children home?
You know, we have over almost 400 signatures on the petition, and I called the sheriff's department today, recorded it. So there is no they can't say they didn't get it, you know, not on the internet, but we have actually recorded it, so we can transcribe it, right, for the attorneys. And we know, you know, it's like COVID-19, no one's doing nothing with the government, but with court systems being at a halt here, there, you know, almost 400 signatures, there, it's undeniable. Just do an investigation. That's all I'm asking for. It's fairness, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, can I jump in on that?
Yeah,
so,
go ahead, sir.
You know, because I know, I couldn't put myself in Spring's shoes because I never had my kids taken for over a year, right? So I've been through an ugly divorce and going through one now, but nothing compared to, you know, what she's been going through. You know, the fact that she hasn't seen her kids coming on a year now is disgusting.
Yeah,
and this is the system, you know. And so, you know, with the help of her friends, we got like a petition going and, you know, like literally almost 400 signatures. All we really needed was 100, right? But the great thing about this is the fact that the lawyer who's fighting the UFC, Eric Kramer, he has joined into this fight. The only thing that he needs is another alliance, which, you know, we don't want to give too much away, but Eric Kramer is going head-to-head with the UFC. And we have, like against with the UFC case, I'm fighting for all the fighters, right? But there's multiple law firms involved, and I know all of them because they're fighting for a good cause. And when I sat down with all these lawyers, they were all willing to throw in their hats, right? But Eric Kramer, I seen him deliver in court. And this guy, he might look like, you know, the nicest, coolest, you know, just regular blue-collar, hardworking guy. But, man, when he turns it on, it's like that high-level fighter that steps inside the cage and picks apart the opponent. Because what he did against the UFC lawyers, I sat down with him, and he's, you know, I like to be that good guy that, you know, beats the bad guys. I said, I have a lot of bad guys I want you to expose, you know. And he's still, like, he's more like antitrust, you know, and stuff like that. But he's assembled an army to go after these people. But, you know, he told me I have to be patient. You know, everything takes time because look at this UFC case. It's been ongoing, but at the same time, we have all the evidence. It's not like we're digging and we have to go to, you know, like, you know, do discovery. We have it all, you know, and we have all the evidence. And once we go to court, it's like, you know, it's like c'est la vie. You're about to get your ass kicked because it's like an amateur fighter going up against a guy who's seasoned and he's been training and he's ready for a world title, and there's really the odds are against the amateur fighters. That's how much evidence we have. And when we go in, when we have these lawyers that are teaming up, Eric Kramer, I mean, I'm sure it's either going to be him or another one that's going to go beast mode, and we're going to expose every single person in Kentucky. And I'm even going to call out what the attorney general's name?
Daniel Cameron.
Daniel Cameron was supposed to be,
he's the first
African American
attorney general.
Attorney general in Kentucky, right? So let's see what he's going to do. You know, I think, of course, he's just freshly new in the office. He's getting his feet wet. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he's ready to roll up his sleeves and show us what kind of leader he is. Let's see what Daniel Cameron is going to bring in. Because if he's one of those, excuse my Vietnamese, if he's one of those little bitch-ass, you know, that doesn't want to do shit, I'm going to call his ass out. I'm going to call him out. I'm going to call every single person out, you know. I just want to excuse my Vietnamese, but I'm going to call every single person out. I'm going to burn them on social media. I'm just going to throw everyone underneath the bus with facts, with the truth, with evidence. And it is what it is. the time to fight is now. All those corrupt cops, they're being exposed, you know?
No,
so.
Yeah. You know, I understand where you're coming from, brother, you know, and life is, it's a hard look either way you go into it. You know, I'm going to let Dean ask you a few questions here. You know, Dean is a father, just like me and just like everybody on the show today. So I'm gonna break a cut man's radio show cherry tonight and let him kind of dwell into the world a little bit of these thoughts and these aspects that we're in.
Does he know he's about to talk in front of millions of audience yet?
Yeah, he does.
All right, let's go, Dean. Bring the hard questions.
I'm in, buddy.
Let's see what you got.
You know, being an orphan kid myself and going through something a little bit, you know, my mom died when I was a little kid. My father left us and my aunt and uncle took me as my mom and dad. And there was always like a little bit of animosity, you know, between the families, like, and I just always thought my mom and dad always fought for me, and I'll always respect them for that. They've always told me the truth about what's going on, and, you know, my heart goes out to you guys. Kong, you've been in a lot of tough fights in your lifetime, brother, and this is probably the toughest by far. Would you agree with that?
You know, because it's so personal to me because I love, you know, spring so much. It's definitely, I don't see it being a hard fight. I see it being a strategic and a game of patience. It's because who's going to make that move and who's going to really step up to doing justice because of the system. So it's who I'm gonna expose, you know. I'm gonna expose every single person that don't want to help, and if they get in the line of fire in the press, so be it. You know, that's how you gotta play. You gotta play hardball because if they're dealing with kids' lives now, and if they don't want to do something, then it's just like all these kids that are getting like being victims of violence and bullying, and all those people that are around them are not doing anything. They're turning a blind eye. Well, those people that are turning a blind eye, they're just as much at fault for not doing anything. And that's why things keep continuing to happen. So if our government and our, you know, people who work, you know, for the system, they're not doing anything, then they shouldn't be part of the system. And they should lose their jobs. And, you know, I was a little bit hard on Cameron earlier. I just want something done. So I did say that he's going to roll. Let's see if he's going to roll up his sleeves and is true to his words when he came into office, if he's going to uphold what he pledged. There, every single, like from the cops to the judges, they pledge to serve. And then the law enforcement, they have to serve and protect. Now let's see if they do their job or not. Or is this system, you know, broken? Is it broken? Let's see. Let's truly see. Now is the time. Everyone has crosshairs on them, and everyone's being looked at by a microscope. So we the people need to stand together, and we the people need to expose all them criminals. You know, I don't care if you're a judge, if you're a law enforcement officer, if you're dirty, we need to bring the broom and broom your ass off to the side.
Thanks.
That's it. Clean up the system.
100% agreed. You know, you're held to a higher standard when you're representing others, and you should hold yourself up to an even higher standard than other people hold you up to.
Thank you.
Yep.
So,
you know, I have
so
to agree.
So, what is your
go ahead, Dean.
What is your guys's next step in this
in this battle. I know COVID-19's got you probably pretty battled down. You can't travel. The court system has great timing in not being able to get back to you. What are you doing to keep emotionally intelligent during this time?
One thing about the fact that everything's down, it actually gives us a chance to tighten everything up. So it's not like we're going to sit here and feel sorry for ourselves. We're screw rolling up our sleeves. We're just going to take our shirts off, maybe not spring, but we're just going to take off our shirts, and we're about to get sweaty, and we're about to do our work. Because from every single item of evidence, we want to know it from front to back. We want to be able to step into court and give the lawyer who's going to represent us competition, because we can probably represent ourselves in court. That's how good we know this case. And that's how good we know our evidence. And that's how good we know the law. And the law is being broken. The law is being broken by the Boyd County Deputy Sheriff, by CPS. God knows how many CPS workers that are corrupt. As you know, it's corrupt. And there are good CPS agents out there. There are good judges out there. There are good police officers out there. But are they willing, are they that neighbor, or are they that person next to you who's on the street and you're getting beat up, or you get something bad happening to you, are they the one turning the blind eye? Because if they are, they are just as much at fault as the person who's doing it. It is what it is.
Now, Sunshine, do you feel that because he is a police officer, that the extreme biasness goes from him all the way up? Because, you know, there's no secret behind it that, you know, he's protected under the badge, and he's protected by his superiors. You know, why hasn't a judge been willing to hear the case on the biasness and the aspects that the police force in Kentucky is using against you and your family and keeping you separated?
I actually believe that if you go against a police officer, because there's a thin blue line, not anything against police officers, because they're great ones, but I absolutely know that attorneys told me if they would never work in that town again if they went against the sheriff's department. So if you expose someone and it's a small town and you're in that town, I don't believe you'd work again. I mean, that's what they told me anyway. So you're going against a whole sheriff's department, and they said that they would never work again in that town. That's what they told me, actually. So I'll just make it short and sweet. But I absolutely believe that, yeah.
This just burns me up because, I mean, I live in the Midwest, and I know a lot of people understand how law enforcement works on the West Coast and the East Coast. But in the Midwest, it's a little bit different. You know, it's a good old boy standard. You know, and I have to agree, there's a lot of tremendous police officers, but then there's also a lot of corrupt. But you get that in every aspect and every walk of life, not just in law enforcement. You know, this adversity chaps my ass because I had a mother that didn't want me. You know, I had a mother that gave me with my real father. They were divorced, and my father said, I didn't sign up to have a damn kid, and he put me in military school. Sitting here listening to your story, it kind of kills me because, you know, people don't really understand or appreciate how tremendous it is to have a parent that wants you or loves you. I never got that opportunity. I didn't have a family growing up. What is it that you feel in your heart the most that you really want to give back to your kids? And I know you're not going to give up this fight or this struggle until you do, but if you could send a message to your kids right now, if they have the opportunity to listen, what would that statement be to them, letting them know how much you're going to fight?
I love them. I love them. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you. Sorry, I didn't hear you. I love them endlessly. You know, as a mother, I mean, that's part of me. And I'm responsible for those two people. So no matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone does, like, I'm responsible for those two boys that grow up to be men. And I love them, and I've raised them. And I miss them terribly. And I want them to grow up with integrity. I want them to grow up with character. And I want them to grow to be good men, to know right from wrong. And I've really worked on that. But now they're taken from me, and they're taken from each other. So even that, you know, what bothers me the most is, like, while adults work their stuff out, I've said this 100 times, but the two boys are taken from each other, you know, and they're best friends, you know. I want them to have that love, because when I'm gone, they're only going to have each other. And they need to know that love and that bond.
Yeah. You know, Kung, I know you just got engaged with Spring, and it was tremendous to see that happen, because you and I are brothers, and we've done many shows together, and we've walked down many aspects in the sport together. You know, you pick up a fight and you don't let it go. You're a man that truly sees things all the way through. How deep does this truly sit in the heart of Kung Lee?
Well, you know, in my heart, I learned to go with the heart, go with the gut, and go with God. So, you know, I've gotten this far, and, you know, I got so many amazing, you know, memories and journeys underneath my belt. And I've been through two tough relationships where, you know, I try to make it work. And finally, I found someone that really can connect and be on the same level where, you know, with the love and with the friendship and with the building of each other. It's truly amazing from where I've come from, you know, being a refugee to being a world champion and representing a whole country in Vietnam. You know, I represent all, not just the whole country of Vietnam, but all the Asian people. But then there are so many fans that have followed my career. So I represent all the fans. And so whenever I do something, I always have to give it my all. So whether it's being a father, whether it's being a friend, whether it's being a husband, a boyfriend, whatever it is, I have to give it my everything. Because I don't want to look back and say, I could have done this better, I could have done that. I want to look back and be able to not think like, oh man, I wish I would have done it this way. Of course, there's always going to be those little memories or those moments that I wish I would have done something different. But the more you do things right, the less will you have to look back and see the mistakes. You've done everything right, you can move on. And I got to stop looking back so much, because then it takes me away from looking forward. And right now, you know, I just feel that, you know, the Asian people and the Black people and everyone's being, we shouldn't even be calling each other Asian, Black. We should just be calling each other, hey, brothers, hey, sisters. You know, but instead, the world we live in is, it is what it is, but if you're going to make a difference, then you have to do it yourself. You can't depend on anyone else to do it. So, like I said, when I do something, and if I'm fighting you, oh, know that you're going to have a fight. When I'm exposing you, know that you will be exposed. And if one day you look at me in the eye, you have something to say, say it. Say it. And if you want to do something about it, do it. Because I'm not going anywhere. I will look you back in the eye. I'm ready, whatever it is. I'm that guy. I will not back down from anything. The only person I fear is God. So, and when it's my time, it's my time. So, you know, if it's not my time, I'm not running scared. I'm not going to be that guy. I will face whatever it is.
Before I pass it back to Dean, would you say it took you your whole life to truly, it might sound rhetorical, but would you say it's taken you your whole life to truly find your sunshine?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's taken my first half of my life, right? But now there's a new beginning. There's always a new journey. There's a new path, right? And it depends on the path that you take. So the path that I've chosen is with spring and making not just the Vietnamese people proud, but I want to make all the martial artists around the world proud, because as martial artists, we all have to stand up and we all have to stick together. Just like the human race, we all have to stand together and fight and represent each other, you know?
Yeah. Amen, brother. Dean?
You know, just sitting here listening, from my heart goes out to you guys. It's going to be a great battle, a good win. You know, Kung, you've brought up the social situations around our world, really, not just only our country, but around the world. People are pretty much in an uprising, and you've been through a bunch of turmoil and had a very chance to act, let's call it ignorant, and you haven't. You've chose to be positive in a godly manner. What would you say to all those people out there that are going through tough times, maybe not in the exact same situation, but in their own tough battle? What could you say to those people to help them?
For all the people in the world who are experiencing or up against something very tough, and if you're able to take a breath, and when you wake up in the morning and you see a roof over your head, whether it's a ceiling from a house or cardboard from a box, you are alive. You have another day to do something special, to make a difference, to be the change that you want to see in the world, or to make a difference in someone else's life. That's what I would tell them, because you're still here. You still can make, you still have a choice. Make it. God, what he did great is he gave us a choice. You know, like man is made, you know, in his own image. And if you're faithful, whatever faith or religion you are, and if you have faith in the higher power, and you live your life with integrity, and you help people, the sky's the limit. You know, I like my saying with Spring's mom. She always tells me, with God before me, nothing can stand against me. You know, so I feel invincible.
Yeah,
so Kentucky,
yeah, you know, I'm a Christian.
Watch out.
That's awesome, buddy. You know, I'm a Christian in faith, believe in God as well, buddy. And I think it's good that you can attack situations and always, you know, bring the good Lord up front as your armor. You know, put it on that armor of God every time you go in there and represent your family and yourself. And like you said, our human race in a correct manner. That takes a lot of courage and commitment, you know, from everybody's standpoint that's been through tough times. It's easy to go out there and start the battle, but to have the courage and commitment and the nonstop mentality that you have, I don't see that any way out but you guys winning this battle.
Perfect.
Nothing can beat God. So we're on the right team. You know, so again, you know, it's just been, you know, ever since Spring and I, we stopped thinking about, let's make plans. We start saying, let's do God's plan. You know, the crazy thing is, after your interview, it really hit a lot of people, and we started like getting a lot more interviews, and then and it's all sprung from that interview that you gave us, and we were with the and then right after that you invited me on to Hello Canada. Then from there, you know, that officer in Kentucky, I won't even say his name because it shouldn't be even be mentioned onto your show, but you know, that deputy sheriff from Kentucky, he got on there and he started running his mouth, you know, because if you're innocent, why even say anything unless you got something to hide? But from that sparked a lot of other interviews, and I just want to say thank you, Don, for that, because from that led to one interview to another interview, and I think there was enough heat. The fact that the deputy sheriff that was in charge of the drug unit, Pat Atkins. Now I'm mentioning his name because it's out there as a public. It's in the media. What media is it in?
The Public Library. It's the Daily Independent.
It's on the Daily Independent. So he's facing up to
court trial.
He's facing trials for all the shady stuff that he's done, and if he's convicted, 20 years. He's going to face 20 years. And I feel that because of the media and the exposure that you and all the press that we've been getting, and we pointed all at the corruption in Kentucky, guess what? They have to take notice. And now not only are we going to – we got over close to 400 – signatures, we're going to go after CPS. And if we have to do one person at a time, we'll get every single person. We will hit over 300-400 signatures, and everyone will be looked at. So, you know, right here, we're also going live on Facebook. So if you are CPS, if you're a judge, we got your name. And the good thing about the system is we can go and petition, and we will get signatures, and you will be investigated. So you better start doing the right thing soon, because karma's going to catch you.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words, but you know, the show name says it all. The Fighter's Voice. You know, it's not just for the sport, but it's for all walks of life. You know, everybody in a certain situation, everybody in a certain path or conundrum, they deserve a voice. They deserve to be heard. When I first was made aware of the situation, me and you have already been brothers for quite some time. So I felt it would be a travesty if I didn't share the new outcome and the new aspect that has been perplexed in your life. You know, Spring, what does it mean for you to have such a strong man behind you in Kung Lee, helping you fight this battle? Because, you know, we look at life and, you know, sometimes some battles have to be fought alone, but sometimes it gets to be too rigorous and too much on one soul. So what does it mean for you to have someone like Kung Lee help you step up, not only as your partner in life, but someone who has your back every step of the way?
Absolutely everything, actually. He's my best friend. Honestly, I can say he's my best friend. Like, at the end of the day, you have to have something to talk about. We always talk, and we always laugh. And you know what? There's not too many people you can call in the middle of the night if you were broke down on a ragged road or something, some drive 500 miles and get you. But, you know, he really saved me, and he continues to. And I love him very dearly. He's actually very admirable. He's the same guy I knew like 10 years ago, you know, like when I met him. But he's absolutely that guy, I guess. I mean, he is absolutely, he has character, he has integrity, he has honor. And there is no bounds, and he won't stop fighting. And he's a fighter, and I guess fighters fight. So, you know, him taking my plight on his plate, you know, on top of his other stuff, you know, I mean, that's huge. And I just know that, you know, I really love him. So I appreciate him. I appreciate him every day. I always tell him every night, I love waking up to you every morning. I love going to sleep with you every night. And I appreciate you every day. So that's actually something I say every night.
You know, it's tremendously beautiful, you know. Me and Kung have been down many roads together. You know, we go back to AKA San Jose. I actually got to shoot the Kung Lee Franklin fight, and Kung has always left many memories in my heart and in my soul. And I'm like a brother in life that doesn't let or leave a brother behind. And I'm always going to tell a story. I'm always going to share each and every part of his walk. You know, I'm just honored that you two have allowed me. You know, yeah, I brought you on many shows. I brought you on What's Up Canada. But it was never for the intent of my gain. It was to get the story out, to tell the truth, to let the world know that corruption existed even before the coronavirus, even before, you know, people started calling for the abolishment of police and this nature. This story was already in the works. You know, I just feel that I didn't feel the story was getting due diligence on many aspects, and I can't sit with that in my heart like that. You know, Kung is a good brother, and you're a tremendous woman. You made a huge difference in his life. This is a beautiful thing that we can all correlate together and share with the world and bring awareness. You know, I'm kind of being a little bit of a mic hog, though, so I'm gonna toss the mic back to Dean Lassiter. Let him ask you a couple more questions, and then I'll come back and we'll kind of wrap things up. Dean?
Really?
That's awesome. You know, I don't mind, Don. I'm loving it. You know a lot more about this situation than I do, but, you know, I do have a couple of questions. What keeps you guys going?
Each other.
God, each other.
God and each other. Love and light.
Yeah, love and light.
Making the difference we want to see in the world. There's a lot of people relying on us right now to make a difference right now. There are so many other mothers that came forward and that haven't seen their kids that had the same thing happen to them. So I guess everything's placed on your shoulders for a reason, you know, I guess. I have to think that because there's been so many others. And each other. Actually, I would just say I cling to him and my mother, you know, love. And my love for my children.
Yeah.
They're expecting me and I'm not going to let go. You know, they're looking for me every day, so I imagine. So, love.
You know, Spring, and it's hard. You know, you've been away for a year and it's just got to almost make you stronger every day with resounding eagerness to get this over with. How do you keep it under control? How do you I know you get angry about the situation, but what do you guys use to control yourselves more or less? You know what I mean? It's gotta be super hard. It's personal. It's mental. There's a whole bunch of aspects. What do you guys do? How do you handle it?
I pray. And I cry. Cry alone. While I'm in the shower. While I'm in the bedroom. Before I go to sleep. I miss home so bad. That everything happens for a reason. And I trust God. And I pray every day. And his love helps me keep going. Sometimes I'm being sorry. And, I'm not mean to him, but I'm just, unsympathetic on some certain things, and I apologize for that, you know, sometimes. But, you know, just being honest, I mean, just God, I think, and his love, and my mother's love, you know, they're the ones that's been here for me, and I just miss my kids so much, I want to be over.
Yeah, that's tremendously moving, Spring, and all I can say, you know, as a fellow Christian guy, is that, you know, that is probably your one and only solace, you know, besides Kung and your mother, the solace that God's going to do his will with you, and he knows you're in the righteous in this situation, and I'm sure he's going to take care of you, and especially, you know, going through this turmoil for such a long time and keeping your faith. And you counting on him is got to build that relationship, just the way that he must be wanting this done. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely, I agree. Absolutely.
You know,
I think
it's hard. I wish everybody could keep that kind of faith. You know, a lot of people, when the going gets tough, don't stay tough. You know what I mean? When the going gets tough, the tough stay tough, and you hold on to the good Lord with both your arms and let him carry you through stuff like this.
I felt the presence of God. I mean, he's great. I mean, and it's not his fault. If anything, it's the devil. I mean, so I don't know. I hate packaging. He's going to piggyback.
And you know, when we started this conversation, you guys mentioned, you know, the very first thing out of Kong's mouth was God, of course, was, and the positive outlook that you guys keep. Anything special besides praying? You know, do you guys do any type of routine? I see you guys working out together with your reality combat, your, you know, weapons training, stuff like that. That has to keep you mentally healthy too. Don't you think so?
We do our little slow dance.
We slow dance every night. We slow dance every night. And then we breathe.
See,
we
there
breathe.
It is. Yeah.
You know, I think at first, of course, we were like, why? And I think after a while, we start realizing there's a bigger picture. And then we start, instead of like looking at this, like this life is so tough or things are so hard, we looked at it like, wow, God really must think we have some big, strong shoulders. Because we're caring a lot, and the more he puts on us, the more honored we have to be. Because he wouldn't trust it with anyone else. If he's gonna put it on our shoulders, then we have to carry the weight. And when we feel the weight, we just gotta, you know, bite down on our mouthpiece, and we just gotta get it going again, and never give up. And I think that's the key. Because, like I said, we wake up and we feel blessed every day just to wake up. Because look at how many people don't get a chance to wake up. It could be worse. And the fact that when we wake up, everything works on our body. And we have all our limbs and we have everything on our bodies. We're able to speak. We're able to, you know, we have food in the refrigerators, you know. Yeah, and all my boys are healthy and we know Spring's boys are, you know, they're doing okay. Of course, there's things that, you know, we disagree with how, you know, the other party is raising the kids. And so we disagree with that. But, you know, it's those are little petty things that we have to worry about now. We just got to worry about, you know, the weight that we got on our shoulders and how honored we are to carry that weight for God. That's it.
Amen. You know, Kong, I want to jump in here real quick. You know, I want to bring up a point that kind of slipped my mind. You know, when we first did the show on this situation, there was an aspect from Kentucky, well, two aspects from Kentucky that jumped into the comments and left some pretty derogatory things. You know, I have the screenshot still. I have
Thank
the aspects
you.
In that. Oh, brother, you know I always got your back on that. You know, I'm watching your live right now, and I could see the pain in your face. But I also want to let you know that there is people from Kentucky in your live that are watching it. And so, you know, if you're here to bring animosity, you know, I don't fear you. You know, my show is worldwide. I'm going to tell Kong and Sunshine's story until the cows come home. You know, Kong is my brother. You're not going to instill fear in them or me. Believe it or not, I do have a very vast legal team, and I don't play games, especially when it comes to family. You know, Kong, Sunshine, you truly are my family. You know,
you've
honored my show. You've honored my life. Now it's my time to give back to you and to honor you and the legacy and help you bring Sunshine's children back home. You know, that is the true blessing in life, people don't realize that when you're family, you can't mess with family. And I will not tolerate it. I will not stand it. I will fight with you until my very last breath, my brother. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt Dean, so I'm going to toss the mic back to Dean. I just want to let people know that if you think some aspects of this aren't 100% verifiable, me and Kung have done several shows on this aspect. I do have screenshots. I do have correlations and messages that I'm holding on to that I will get to Kung and Sunshine. But if you leave a remark on my show, I will let you know it is a federally protected show. It can be used in a court of law, and I will be the first one to exercise that right. You're not going to attack or demean anybody in that aspect on my program. With that being said, I'm going to let Dean ask you a couple more questions, and then we'll kind of wrap things up, my brother. Dean?
Thank you. That was very heartfelt. Thank you.
Dean, you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought I heard Spring talking there. I wanted to make sure. Guys, I'd like to take it a little lighthearted here for a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Spring, Kung had pretty good footwork, whether it be in the cage, on the mat, or in the ring. How is he slow dancing?
I'm trying to teach you the salsa. He doesn't like these things.
Hey, you know, I'm that guy with a half-empty teacup, so I'm always open to learn because I'm always a student of the game. Yeah.
Great. Are you teaching him? Is he a good student, or you know, he's probably used to teaching people around there.
We're just growing together.
So that's awesome, man. I love to hear the slow dancing, and you know, we're blessed with beautiful weather out here. Have you guys had a chance to get out any? You know, our stuff is loosening up. What's your favorite restaurant that you guys want to get out there, get some good food in?
You know, we love pho, which is Vietnamese. You know, soup. It's like white noodles and steak and fresh noodles, and the broth is bone broth. So it's
really good for you.
Absolutely.
But they just opened like the other day, and everything else is closed. And so restaurants are open, but like no.
Yeah, pho is our go-to, and I think our second is, you know, a pizza, but pho. Pho kicks pizza's butt all day long. So they're of course.
And the
yeah, we run our dog.
Carrie turned me on to the best pho around, buddy, up there. So I'm with you. One thing you guys want to get out and do when all this comes to an end. What are you missing the most? Besides the kids, of course. What are you missing for you and Spring, Kung?
I think we're gonna go to Vietnam and. Enjoy the food out there, and then go to all the little islands, and then make it like a little. And I'll bring sons and Spring's mom, and they can hang out at Saigon Sports Club, and they can drink coconut juice and train all day. But I know Shima
like beer.
Yeah, Shima. You know, so yeah, I want to go back to Vietnam and. You know, maybe just enjoy my country and enjoy the food, and then get some training in, and then put together a kick-ass movie for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah! Oh yeah.
It was great. It was beautiful. Actually, we went to Hanoi, and it was my first time out of the country, and the people are all so friendly, and it was just such an awesome place. Honestly, I mean. I can't say anything, but that was just awesome. I mean, Vietnam was awesome.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. I've never had the pleasure to go over towards that area of the world, but it's definitely on my bucket list.
So,
Don, I don't know what your bucket list is, but, you know, once all this gets going, God willing, I'm definitely going to, you know, if these films go, you know, I'd be ready to shoot some amazing pictures.
Oh, I'm down, brother. I'm down.
All
you
right.
know that. You know, come, this is the first of many shows that we're going to be doing on this topic. You know, you're a tremendous man in my life, and you're a tremendous man in the sport and in your walk. You already know what's coming, my brother. You already know what's coming. And to my listeners, if you're not a God-fearing person, I understand that, but I'm a God-fearing man. The Lord lives in my heart. I'm a very spiritual man in my walk. And I watched my brother Kung find the Lord, walk his walk, create greatness in doing that. So, Kung, first and foremost, I want to thank you for honoring my show tonight. I want to thank Sunshine for honoring
thank
the
you,
show
Danny.
With you. You two have become my family, and we'll be inseparable. We're going to be doing a lot of shows together. We're going to continue this fight until it is over. But with that being said, I'm going to pass the mic to you, Kung. If you could lead our show out in a prayer, brother, I would be so honored.
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for letting all of us wake up today and blessing us with another day and the breath that we take. We are grateful to be alive, to have all that we have, our family, our friends, Vietnam, Don, and everyone who's part of the show, everyone around the world. Lord, please help us stand united and stronger and get through this hard time, and let all your warriors come out and change this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. You know, one thing
Amen.
Before I let everybody go here, you know, Kung brought up a very valid point. There shouldn't be color at the beginning of a sentence when you're referring to somebody. We're all people. If we were all blind, we would know no difference. So people, look at life a little bit different. Understand that there is meaning to a person, not their skin color. There is beauty to a heart, and there is meaning to a soul. And hopefully this show tonight, you took a little bit away from that from Sunshine and Kung Lee. They truly are two beautiful people in my life. I'm very honored to have such tremendous aspects walk with me. Dean, if there's anything you would like to say to Kung and Sunshine before we wrap things up, brother, the floor is yours.
I just want to say thank you for a great interview. Not all the time do I get a chance to talk real life, family, real issues. A lot of it's fighting and that. So thank you, first of all. And I just want to let you guys know I'll be praying for you. And I know the good Lord will do his will for you guys. Just keep it up and portray yourself in the right manner. And I know everything will work out well.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Kung, before I let you go, brother, I see that sorrow in your face. Bro, look deep in your heart. Let the Lord clear that soul, and be the man that you're meant to be, brother. You're strong. Don't let the sorrow overtake your greatness, brother.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for the words. The great Lord is my strength, and you know, He blessed me with everyone, all the fans in Vietnam behind me, and I got Spring here and her mom and my family, so, you know, about to make some more history.
Most definitely. Anytime you need me, my brother, I'm just a phone call away. Thank you
for
joining the show. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Dean, would you like to say farewell?
Yep, guys, have a great rest of your week. Thank you for coming on, and keep kicking butt out there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you guys. You have a good evening. I love you, my brother.
Thank you.
gentlemen. That was Kung Lee and Sunshine Spring. Dean, always a tremendous show.
Absolutely, man. That was awesome, too. I don't know that we ever talked about God that much before.
No, but so you know
that,
what?
That's great. That's a total turn, you know? Love it.
It has to be. You know, there has to be an aspect of the good part of life in such dark times. And you know, people, to my listeners worldwide, yeah, we are I'm generally a sports show, but I do shows in politics. I do shows in life. As I said earlier, everybody has a voice. And whether it be a fighter's voice or just a voice that needs to be heard, I will tell your story. You know, Dean, I'm always honored every week when you come on the show with me. You know, it shows the versatility, the different aspects, and the man that you are, because you open your heart, you open your life to the world, and it truly means a lot to me. You know, I'm going to put you on the spot tonight. You know, I just want to say, you know, there's never been another man in this sport that I respect as much as I do you. You know, you've always looked at me with an open heart and an open mind, and you've always correlated to me as your brother, and that truly means a lot to me. You know, I'm going to be 56 years old tomorrow, and you already gave me crap about it, so you can't give me no more crap about it tonight. But I love the show, brother. It worked out tremendously, and I think Cass Bell has got a great future in Bellator. I think he's going to be one of the top contenders in the sport. It's just great when we can share Bellator family and then bring on a legend like Kung Lee. What do you take away from the shows that we've done so far, bro, before I let you go?
Well, you know, the number one thing that I've taken away is that, you know, tomorrow you'll be able to walk into Denny's and get anything you want for about half price, buddy, and I'm so happy for you. Being a senior citizen and all, that might be, you know, just kind of gratitude for you at your older age. That's what I take away. You know what, dude? On a serious note, brother, you know what? I love talking to other people. You know, it's kind of like, you know, me as a cut man, it's all about the other guy. So I just love giving people a platform, you know, to tell their story. And, you know, I try not to influx any type of opinion that I have. Try to be true media and let the people decide how they want to feel. I don't get. Oh, and by the way, I don't give a darn what kind of comment you leave on my stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
I really don't. You know this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what?
I love everybody. And
go ahead.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead, buddy.
I was just going to say, you taught me a very valuable thing, you know, that sometimes the less said is the better path to walk. And ever since I've been living that thought that you gave me, life has been so much sweeter. You know, like I said, bro, I wouldn't want to walk this path in the sport or on the show without you. You've made such a huge impact and such a huge difference in my life that we can bring the world together.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, it's the truth. We can bring the world together and share their stories and show, you know, the true side to an individual. You know, you get to be a cut man, but you don't get, I mean, you live in the moment, but you don't get to share in the moment. The same as a photographer. We get to live in the moment, but we don't really get to enjoy the moment. And I don't think people realize that a show like this means the world to us, because we get to sit back and we get to enjoy the fighter. We get to enjoy their thoughts, their hearts, their walk. And it creates a unification between different walks and different lives and different perceptions. And I think the world can be a much beautiful place if we take away the word color before we speak somebody's name or speak about a culture. You know, life is a tremendous place. You know, I'm an old man, yes, I'll admit it, but we're walking on a path that I've never walked on before. But I'm learning to understand it. And if I can understand it, you can teach an old dog new tricks. So if you're an older person out there and you're like me, be a little bit more open-minded, be a little bit more perceptive, and get a greater understanding of what life is really becoming, because we all need each other. We all need to pull the ones that we love in closer and appreciate them that much more. Dean, if you have any sponsors or anything you want to shout out, brother, before we kind of wrap things up, the floor is yours, homie.
You know, Don, I real quick about the issues at hand, I always see color, but I don't prejudge the color or the culture. I'm glad we're all different. I'm glad we're different colors, different heights, different intelligences, different stupidities. I embrace that, buddy. But the one thing that I don't do is become prejudiced, which is prejudging you, whether you have tattoos or your skin pigment a different color or whatever. That's the part people have to get out of their head is the prejudging. It's prejudice. It's not racism because we're only one race. But what people do is they'll prejudge people on the way that they look or, you know, put themselves first thinking they're better than the rest. Well, little do you know, you're not, man. And I think we should all just, you know, be one and get together. I know the blacks are treated bad firsthand. I grew up in a black neighborhood, and I don't blame them for rising up. What we all need to do is like Kong and Spring and attack it with emotional intelligence and
amen,
be heard.
Brother.
Don't ever stop fighting, you know?
Right? We need to have the world's greatest Woodstock all over again.
Hell yeah.
You know, we really do. We need to have the world's biggest Woodstock to create the biggest love festival in the world and show everybody that we can be better than the times we're walking.
Amen.
Well, go ahead and give your sponsors a shout-out, buddy, before we wrap things up.
Well, you know, G Fuel keeps me through this up here late at night. I thank you, boys. Man, you stood by me this whole time. Really appreciate our partnership, our family. The most out of everybody that I have, guys, you guys have always been with me. I just want to say thank you to G Fuel and Gamma Labs, my boys at South Coast Mitsubishi, my guys at MAP Cargo, all the dads out there kicking ass yesterday. Happy Father's Day, and looking for a great week ahead, man.
Yeah, most definitely. I can't wait till Bellator gets back on track and we can all get together one as family again. You know, just because the last fight before the virus hit was in Thackerville. There was one after that, but it got canceled. You know, you're going to go up next in my profile picture. Tonight I put up David Michael Bell, and you'll be up next because I want people to remember that moment and remember how great this sport is, but even how much more brotherhood is. People, brotherhood and sisterhood is the most important thing. In this sport, we take away the greatest relationships and brotherhoods and sisterhoods that we will ever find in a lifetime. This sport defined who I am. It defined my walk. It made me the man I am today. And we did it with love, respect, and humility. On that note, Dino, much love, brother. Appreciate you doing the show with me. I know you got to get. God bless you. And if there's anything else you'd like to say, homie, this is your last chance.
I'm all good, homie. You have a good week. And all the peeps out there, keep level-headed and stand up for your rights.
Amen, brother. On that note, God bless you. I love you, homie. Appreciate you doing the show. And until next week, we'll talk to you later, bro.
Later, homie.
Later, bro. Oh, what a tremendous show tonight with Cass Lee, Kung Lee, Sunshine Spring. You know, I really like this one song. I'm going to try to find it real quick before we get out of here. A buddy of mine, Michael Francis, is in a group called Soul Rebel Project. And I think they did a tremendous song. They're the International Artist of the Year the last 3 years in a row. And this song has a lot of meaning to me. So give it a listen, and I hope you enjoy. On that note, have a good night, and God bless.
Carry me.